Okay, today's daf is daf Yud Dalet. We already got up to the end of the discussion of the dinim about Shmuel, so we're up to Yayin Hashem and Yeshivila, which is about two lines down from one third of the way, one line down. Tanya Rabbi Yosef Lili Oymer, Ba'aspecham Igor Nathal Mikvecha, Ma Gorin V'yekev Miuchadim, Shedibedim Amei Shana Sheavra, Umitasrin L'Shana Sheavra. We're concerned over here, as Rabbi has been explaining, for the idea of coming up with a whole new plan. I mean, basically, we've ended up with four different, at least the way we understood it, not Ali B'Dishmu, but not Ali B'Dishmu. We've come up with three different ways of looking at a Gemara Pri. We have the Gemara of Shlish for Tfuah, for Zaysin, for possibly Yahid. And we have something called the Lakita, when it comes to Yerakas, which is like this out there. Then we have the Dinim of the Hashrasha, when it comes to Kidneys. And then we have the Din of Chanata, when it comes to Yulanas. And we were trying to explain, where does all this come from? So Rabbi explained why it is that we have that special halacha of Hashrasha, because of Farachim Farachim. We don't want to be Semech on Bila. Where Shmuel said, no, there's really no such additional thing. He argues on that. But Lamaisa, I mean, from the Mishnah, it seems that there's four things. So Rabbi Yosef really is coming to explain, obviously this is only in the Smakta, because the Dinim of Yerek comes to Maiser at Rabbanan. But the fact is that the Pasuk may have halachic implications for Yerasa, because we're also going to be looking at Yerek in terms of Shemitah, and determining that Shemitah is a Din in Lakita too. So as it says, it could be that this pasuk really is D'oraita, and we're bringing it here because we've been dealing with the inyanim of your akot for mice. But in any event, Rabbi Yosef really points out like this. On the one hand, the Torah is telling us that Ger and V'yekev are the way in which we discuss the standard of Gidol. So it's the standard of Gidol. Ger and V'yekev are Yuchadim. They're Gidel Malmei Shana Sheavram. So what's the halacha over there? That they end up going basically according to the previous year's growth. So that comes to tell me, not even though I'm located months later, it doesn't matter. I can now take it. It's months later. It was got a one shlish before. And so that's enough, even though it was only one shlish. So then the rule of the year would be that the Torah is Megala, everything that is got a Lamei Shana Sheavra is Mitaser L'Shana Sheavra. We go according to the Zman, even though it's after Rosh Hashanah. If it's after Rosh Hashanah, we should look at it as being this year's produce. No, because essentially, most of its growth, the chosik of its growth, was from last year. So if that's the case, we should understand on our own that Yatsu Yirakot, Shigedelim Almei, the Yirakot are different. They are Yidelim Almei Shana Haba'ah. Your code, anytime that you cut them, they're going to continue to grow. And that means that they're growing. It's not the pshat that we define the tree or the agency of the growth, that we say, whatever it is, where the most kayaf was already given into this thing, it'll continue to grow. And what we're really witnessing is the growth that was essentially there from before. And all of its nourishment and all of its moisture was provided for the previous year, which is basically what it is that we're saying when it comes to trees, and what it is that we're saying when it comes to the grain. So that once already it's at that point, it now continues to grow, and what we're looking at is mostly the hashpah of the year before. But when it comes to yerakot, you're be'etzem eating the yerek itself. By the yerakot, you don't have two different things. You don't have a body which contains now all of the energy which is thrown into the part that you eat, like you do on a tree, unlike you do in the floor. A tree, you could say, I can see it, that all of the nutrition and all of the moisture stored within now in potential within this tree or within this stalk, and now it continues to grow in it, and it provides for its fruit. So the same thing with Gabi, the kidney is, and actually the far should ask, why is kidney out? It's the same thing over there. It's not like, even though it too will continue to grow, but the yerek part is not what you're eating. You're eating something that is, it reflects a stored energy.
Like that's what we say in English, it's something bears fruit.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yerakot are not like that. Yerakot, you eat the green part, it continues to grow, then that means that what you're eating is essentially what it grew now. So it's gidelim amei shana haba'ah. Therefore, it's mitaser l'shana haba'ah. So that the very fact that the Torah makes dependent in this halacha of shlish already is an indication of how to distinguish between yerakot and other things. Rabbi Akiva says, I would look at it a little differently. I would say that the commonality over here of Gorn V'Yekev is that Ma Gorn V'Yekev Yuchadim Shigedelim Al Rov Mayim Umitasrim Neshama Sha'avra. Look, these are things that basically grow naturally. They grow naturally. You're a god, you have to make a garden. These things, you go out and there's There's olives growing all over the place. Nobody's watering them. They're doing just fine. How are they doing just fine? Because basically they have a way of storing the energy and the water from the natural rains. And that's the way that they grow. So there I understand that they go according to the main period of those rains. Shana Shavra. So therefore, I would say that that's the rule. Of course, so that means that anything really that's going to grow based on what comes down from the sky, I mean, so when's the Yikra time that it comes down? The Yikra time is the year before. It hasn't even been raining lately. So over there, we'll go to Shana Shavra. But when it comes to Yerakot, there's an irrigation system over. Why in the world should I relate the Yerek to the previous year? It's continuously being watered and cared for, so therefore it should go according to when I pick it. Mitasrim l'shana haba'ah, without taking into consideration necessarily the idea of the organism storing its energy. That's not the point. To look at the gross impact of the rains on the peris. I mean, it sounds very theoretical. It's the difference between these two approaches. By denying on Rabbi Avu, of course, there's a difference. Because let's say you have tzelim, b'tzelim hasarisim, u'pol hamitzri. Now these are things which the tzelim hasarisim. We call them sarisim because generally bitzalim, according to Tosis' scrap, are produced seed. These are seedless bitzalim, so that, which is basically what we eat. And Rashi has a small bit, like spring onion. Okay, but in any event, these are things where the minhag was to bedafka, keep them from water at the end of the season so that they harden a bit. And these are stored things. You don't want them to be extremely moist. So when you're ready to pick them, you're meneah the water from them a month before or so. They get hard, and then they're ready for you to pick it store. So there makes big enough. It says in the Mishnah, "Bitzalim asarisim upula mitzri shemanami amayim shloshim yom lifnei Rosh Hashanah." So now, if 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, which is the derech, you don't water them so that they should harden, so then in alchinami they're mitasrim l'shaavar. Very interestingly, despite the fact that normally we would go according to the lakita, here we're talking about pula mitzri. You know, I said before it could be basa hashrosha, but over here we're talking about where we want it to yera. There were two. Remember, there are two ways in which it's used. So here, in this particular case, it goes according to the Shana She'avra, and not according to this year. So Lechora, this mission, this is our Rashi means. This mission is going, Aliba the Rabbi Yossi Akalili. Since you haven't watered it for 30 days, so what water is it essentially growing on, these onions? Mm-hmm. On last year's water. So if it's growing on last year's water, it should go according to the Shana She'avra. Mashenkin, according to Rabbi Akiva, but what water did they grow on? Did they grow on the natural water? No. It was an irrigated. If it was irrigation, it's not related to the natural seder of agriculture. That's what you're doing for it. So therefore, it doesn't have a kesher necessarily to the rains of Shana She'avra. So Mamele, here you see a mission that works out only Alib Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Akalili. It wouldn't be true Alib Rabbi Akiva. Okay, this is...
Even though you don't give it any irrigated water now for 30 days.
You're not giving it any water, right. But the fact is, what did it grow on? That's the point. Okay, so it's a question whether we focus on the time or whether we focus on the source of the bracha, so to speak, as being the inyan of the year. Notice we've gotten into Bichlal at this point. Once we move the Mishnah into the question of Yerakot and Maaser, we're now talking about a Rosh Hashanah that is linked to the agricultural events of the year. Up until this time, we've been talking about a Rosh Hashanah that is linked to either history or Bereshis, which is also an element of history. Things that have to do with how we measure a king and how we measure an event and how we would count the Babel and how we look at the Maisa Bereshis in terms of the Tkufa. But all those things are not things that currently are linked in any way to agriculture. Here we're mamash linking to agriculture. Nisan being Rishon LeChadashim is linked to the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim, not to the fact that it's Chodesh Aviv. We'll see later on that indeed, as a matter of fact, we're reaching that point now very rapidly, where we're going to start being concerned with the agricultural linkage to the Rosh Hashanah linkage, which causes a very important thing. It basically now, once again, interrelates the sun and moon, because the sun is the source of the agricultural issues almost entirely, although Tosis wants to relate it to Gerash Yerachim, which means that there's elements of the moon's hashpah in agriculture. But the idea of the Tkufa, making sure, Shmoros Chodesh Aviv, making sure that Nisan falls during the springtime, is basically the source of all of the complications of the Jewish calendar, is that we're trying to make two completely different things interrelate. And this Mishnah serves as an opening that forces us to begin conceiving of that interrelation. We've already pointed this out before, on a number of occasions, very subtle ways that the Mishnah forces the interrelationship between the sun and the moon. Again, here we're talking about Tu Bishvat. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? Why is Tu Bishvat related to the rainfall if the rainfall is a function of the solar year? These are issues that we're going to consider tomorrow. But Lemaisa, now, it's not surprising that we're deeply involved in, okay, so where's the rain from, where's the nourishment from, so on, because we're looking here at the latter part of the Mishnah, which is essentially agriculture. Good. So this would be the Nafkamina. Now, Rashi brings it, Taisus also, for the Yerushalmi, Rashi quotes it over here from the Pirush Roimius, that it learns it exactly the opposite. The Mishnah is Nafka going on Libra Rabbi Akiva, because once you took away the water that you're irrigating for 30 days, at that point, it becomes a non-irrigated field. So b'meila we treat it like a stebal, a natural field, in which case it goes l'shana she'avra. Okay. Mashenkin, if you're talking about what type of water it grows on, measure it as a theoretical type. In any event, the next thing we add is that the Efat Bishvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, according to Beit Shammai, according to Beit Hillel, it was two Bishvat. Now, Lemaisa, the question again is, why is it that Tishrei is that important over there? I mean, Bishlam, you want to tell me we go Basar Chanata. Okay, that makes sense. That is, I'm going Basar Chanata, even though by Yerek I go Basar Chanata. You could say, because a tree indeed stores its energy, and at the moment of the Chanata, that's the time at which we're going to define the Keach as already being there. And now what's being expressed is expressive of the Keach of that year. But the problem is, I mean, why to Bishvat? We already saw that Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, even for these inyanim, when it comes to defining Shnat HaMaaser, we learned out Shana Shana, how we all of a sudden, so because of this, we're going to switch now to something else. The Tosafot points out that it's only because of the pasuk that we had earlier that told us that sometimes Shviyas extends into the eighth year. Right? So that means that the Torah, or Orla, is now into the fifth year. That the revised into the fifth year. Orla is into the fourth year. Once the Torah tells us that, now I know that something is different than I thought. It must be that Rosh Hashanah is not definitive for all circumstances. Now I have to use my mind. So what is reasonable? Comes along Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. For some reason, they pick out Shvat, either Recha B'Shvat or Tu B'Shvat. Asks the Gemara, my time, on what basis did they determine that that should be the explanation? Omar Rabbi Elazar, Omar Rabbi Oshaya, O'il, Ve'yatsu Rov Gishmei Shana, Vadai Rov Tekufa Mibachutz. Now this, on the surface, makes no sense at all. I mean, the first part makes sense. Hol Ve'yatsu Rov Gishmei Shana. You could say, by the time Shvat rolls around, most of the rainfall has already come down, which means that essentially, whatever is going to grow, is going to grow, and the rest is just filling it out, making it plumper, making it a little bit nicer, but essentially the energy that we need is already here. But what is this? Adayin rov tkufa mibachutz. Adayin rov tkufa mibachutz, if anything, it tends in the opposite direction. Adayin rov tkufa mibachutz means you haven't yet completed most of the winter. Because this is chodesh, this is the tkufas teves. In the beginning of Shvat, you haven't completed the most of the 90 days of the winter season. So what are you telling me? Adayin rov tkufa mibachutz? My karma. No. It doesn't mean that's the reason. It means even though. In other words, you would have thought, look, I mean, you still got most of the winter to go. What are you already planning on what bears you're going to have to define because of Chanot? I mean, don't you want to wait until things look a little bit more green and really ready to go before you make a determination that this is the year of its miser? That's what he's saying. That you're right, it doesn't look like much. So somebody who doesn't appreciate the union of the potential that's stored in the tree, he'll say, well, what do you see? You see a little bud. What's not coming up as a bud? But what I'm pointing out is that even though Rov Tkufa Mibachutz, if you're looking at the reality of it, the reality is that it must be that it has most of its preparation already here, and the rest is just taking half in our cash report. So that's what he means to say. Afa Pish Rov Tkufa Mibachutz. And that's what it is that's going to determine. What's the nafkamina between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, those 15 days? L'chora, the nafkamina is what is the primary time of the Chanot. We certainly see beginnings of Chanot, early Chanot, before mostly at the beginning of Shvat. But nonetheless, time is Beit Hillel. The most pharaohs that come out, the norm is to come out at the Tu B'Shvat. And that's what shows really when it's ready to grow. Okay, so we still haven't really absolutely made it clear what the year is defined as. You're saying Rov Gishmei Shana, meaning what? Which year? The year that begins in Rosh Hashanah? Or is the year itself defined by Shvat? Is that what you're saying? And now, so the Chanata in that year is the equivalent of the Lakita in whatever the year is of the Peri? We'll see that makes tremendous nafkaminas, and that's what we're inching towards today. Tana Rabbana. Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva. Shaliket etrog be'achad b'Shvat. And once after Rabbi Akiva went ahead, he picked his Esrog on the first of Shvat. V'nahak bo shnei yisurim, and he wasn't sure, apparently, whether he should count it to the previous year, the previous year being the year of Maaser Sheni, or whether he should count it to this year, which was the third year, whether he should count it as Maaser Ani. So he gave both Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani. How can you do that without messing it up with the percentages? He took off, Yerushalmi says he took off Maaser Sheni, was paid in the Maaser Sheni, and then he went ahead and he gave the Maaser Sheni that he'd been paid to Ani, in case it wasn't really Maaser Sheni, he says it was Maaser Ani. Now, the question is, what in the world? So what, he was Echad Kedivrei Beit Shammai, Echad Kedivrei Beit Hillel? So he was apparently following both shitas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudai, and no, that wasn't the issue. The issue wasn't whether it was Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, it was being machmir, both like Beit Shammai and both Beit Hillel. The issue was something entirely different. It says over here, he picked his Esrog. No, so you'll say, who cares when he picked his Esrog? An Esrog is a fruit, if an Esrog is a fruit, it has nothing to do with when you pick it. Only a vegetable matters when you pick it. It should have said that he looked at when the budding of the fruit was the chamata. That was the issue, says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. It wasn't nogea the machlokes Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. It was nogea the shitas of whether an etrog should be looked at as a yerek, or an etrog should be looked at as a fruit. What is that? It's the minhag Rabbi Gamliel on the one hand, and Rabbi Eliezer on the other hand, both chumras he was noyed. That's not. Etrog shava le'ilan b'shalosh drachim. So we have now similarities. Tosfos points out that this doesn't mean in total similarities to Ilan. There's many similarities to Ilan that we're not discussing over here. For instance, Kelayim. Can you plant an Esrog in a Karen? Or does it have a din of a Yerek that it would be Kelayim Karen? Obviously it's an Ilan in those terms. And other issues as well, which will become later on in the Sugya. All that it means over here is in issues that revolve around the question of whether we look at Chanota or we look at Lakita, there we have to distinguish four different issues. So in three of those issues, it's similar to an Ilan. In one of them, it's similar to a Yerek, which therefore means, by definition, as Tosfos is saying, three elements follow the din of the Chanata, and one element follows the din of the Lekita. What are these elements? Bishlosha drachim etshava le'ilan. What is that? Okay, we have to decide whether Orla, obviously, it has its din of Orla. We define the Orla as we say, Peros et Tiazu, and so on and so forth. Neta Ravoy, which is simply an extension of Orla. And of course, going according to Rambam the Omar, Tosfos points out that we don't say Kerem Ravoy, we say Neta Ravoy. Remember, we have many times. The Machlokes is about Neta Ravoy, whether it's universal aloha on anything that's on a tree or whether it's din dafka in Kramim. Okay, this Rambam the Omar clearly holds Neta Ravoy, not Kerem Ravoy. And the third issue is when it comes to Shemitah. You want to determine what this thing is. Is it a Yerek or is it Ilan? So do we look at it as having come from Shnas HaShemitah or having come from, if it's Chanota, was before, so that's from the year before. That's for sure. But there's one thing in which it's similarly Yerek, and what is that? Yerek v'derek achad? When it comes to Maaser. Shebemaaser b'sha'ad l'kitato isuro. So says Rabbi Gamliel. That since we have over here a Yerek, an etrog is a very strange fruit. It's a fruit that has a certain similarity to a Yerek. And that similarity is it remains on a tree. It keeps growing. You water it. It keeps growing exactly like you do in a vegetable garden. So when that was the main basis for our determination of Shas Lakita for Maaser Yerakot. Therefore, that should be not. When it comes to this particular strange fruit, Lagabi, that halacha should have a din of Lakita, like any vegetable would do. So says Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Etrog Shaveli Ilan L'chol Davar. Look, it's all very sweet that it continues to grow and so on. But again, if you're looking at the essential storage of energy that it needed to define itself as a fruit, albeit now it's the size of a watermelon, I understand. But that which made it an etrog, let us never forget those young years as a young etrog. And over there, we were talking about a fruit, basically, like any other fruit. He's just gone a little bit to the couch potato. Life. Oh, so now, according to this approach, what it was, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, what it was that Rabbi Akiva was worried about is that since it says over here, Lakita, so he wasn't sure, is the fact that he did the Lakita after Shvat mean that this is an etrog from the third year? Because for Maaser as a din of a Yerek, the way Rabbi Gamliel learns, or should he follow the approach of Rabbi Eliezer? This is a fruit, and as a fruit, it goes according to when it's Chanota was. And therefore, who cares when I was located? That was his problem. He didn't have any question about whether you're Paschim like Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Okay, so now let's explain this. Asks the Gemara. First of all, Bichlalbi, what is this business? Being machmer on yourself that you're going to do both like Beit Shammai and like Beit Hillel. I mean, what kind of crazy thing is that? To do such a thing, you have to be a fool. Because it says in the Braita, Le'olam alachakidim rei Beit Hillel. Now, the Gemara explained this. We've had this a few times. In the Erev in particular, when it goes through Piskei Halachos. So the Gemara there comes out, Le'olam alachakidim rei Beit Hillel is a reference to Le'achar Shiyotza Bat Kol. So Le'achar Yitziyat Bat Kol. I see the mountain must have been really cold this morning.
Yeah.
Was there any blizzards up there?
No.
There was supposed to be blizzards.
No,
blizzards.
Okay.
Maybe Shabbos. On Shabbos you don't go. So we paskin like Beit Hillel after the paskal. Before the paskal, Aroitzer la'asot, k'divrei Beit Shammai oseh, k'divrei Beit Hillel oseh. You want, you can follow either Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel. But somebody who follows the kulites of both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is a Rosha. And somebody who's machmer on himself, both like Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, is an idiot. Make up your mind. You have to follow both the kulis and the chumrais. Now, obviously, the Gemara Erevin explained that this doesn't mean where you have to follow Beis Hillel across the book, everything that they said at the time before. It means in a halacha where you're basically contradicting yourself if you follow the chumrais of both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. The case we had over there was the question of the dinim of tuma on a skeleton, where some of the skeletal remains, namely vertebrae, were missing from the spine. So the question over there is, what's considered to be chisaron b'shidra to tell you that you're not going to be metame? So Beit Shammai says, no, only if it's missing two vertebrae. It's not. The problem is, and Beit Hillel says one vertebrae. They're already installed. But the problem is that the same machlokas of chisaron b'shidra is also true like abitrafis. So what's the chisaron b'shidra is one of the yutches trafis. And according to that, if you learn that chisaron b'shidra is like Beit Hillel, one vertebrae, so now it'll be a trefa even if one is missing. That's a chumra. So then that means that Beit Shammai now is coming along and he's being makel betrefas. So you say, okay, you know what? I'll be machmel. I'm both. When it comes to saying whether the body is tummy or tar, so over there I'll be machmel to say like Beit Shammai, it's tummy. When it comes to shaila whether it's a trefa or not, over there I'll be machmel to say like Beit Shammai. But if it's one, that's a ksil b'choshech olayt, because it's contradictory halachas. You can't have it both ways. And I mean, Tosis explains also this. This is even if you still want to be machmer on yourself. It's not that you're an idiot and you're making a mistake thinking that the chumra. It's just to be machmer on yourself in a way that's irrational. Even if he says, I feel you're there, do the halachas like, and machmer al atzma. It's also being a fool, being machmer. If it's two different issues, they're unrelated, obviously you don't have to choose one sheet that you follow for everything you do in your life. But over here, make up your mind. I mean, either it's the third year, it's the second year. It can't be both years at the same time. So what's Rabbi Akiva making a fool of himself? Fine, we're going back now to the first one. It's not so push. Why isn't it the same problem with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel? I mean, it's also interrelated halachas. Either it's the second year or the third year. Okay, but the Achronim talk about why the Gemara focuses specifically on the Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Aksil b'cheshechar. Like, it's the same question, even whether it's the machlokes of Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Eliezer. You can't follow two contradictory shitas. L'maisa, the Gemara seems only concerned for Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, as we'll see. Says the Gemara, no, it's not that Rabbi Akiva was misupan. Rabbi Akiva understood you have to do one or the other. And he knew that the halach was like Beis Hillel, but he didn't remember what Beis Hillel said. That's not up to him already. That he got as a teaching from his own Rebbe. So Rabbi Akiva, Gemara is topically. V'lo yada, I Beit Hillel, b'achad b'shvat, I betu b'shvat. He simply forgot which shita was which. The Mela, he was right, both these stories. In order to be yotze, the shita of Beit Hillel, not in order to be yotze. Two different shitas. Now, there already, you can't have a tiny person being Kixil. I mean, it's not up to him. He has a Kabbalah, I have to do like Beis Hillel. Okay, now, I don't know what Beis Hillel said. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah, now, he said before, the Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah said, no, that's not the problem. The issue was not Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. He knew perfectly well about that. The issue was whether he should follow Chamata or he should follow the Likita. What is that supposed to mean? You said the case was that he picked the Etrog at the first day of Shvat. So now you're telling me there was no problem with Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. No, actually, Rabbi Akiva only held the Beit Shammai. What's going on? I won't get into you. How could Beit Shammai? How could Rabbi Akiva be going like Beit Shammai? Rabbi Akiva, first of all, we tell me the Beit Hillel, not to mention the fact that he had Lach Rav Asma. What is that supposed to be? So could Beit Shammai know about? What are you telling me? If you had told me the case was he was locate the Etrog after Tu B'Shvat, then you say, wasn't sure whether to go back to the Lakita, And since it's after Tu B'Shvat, if you go Batsa Lakita, according to Beis Hillel, we should now follow the next year. In the next year, and I should take off Meiser on. Or maybe I should go Batsa Lachanata, which was the previous year, so I take off Meiser. That would make sense. But to tell me that he picked it on Echad B'Shvat makes no sense, unless he also like Beit Shammai. Omer Rabbi Chanina, some say it was Rabbi Chananya. No. You guys are taking this a little bit too seriously. This Esrog was sitting here on the tree for a long time. This was actually a much older Esrog that was born the year before this year's Tu B'Shvat. It was Kedem Tu B'Shvat to Idach Shvat. Before last year's Tu B'Shvat, this Esrog was already on the tree in terms of its son. B'dinu afilu kainu l'chem. Obviously, when it was that that Rabbi Akiva had picked the Esrog, that was Tu B'Shvat, Echad B'Shvat, for that matter, if it was in Teves, it makes no difference, because it's already, either you're going to go Batsa L'Kita, which is this year, or you're going to go Batsa L'Chanot, which is like 2 years ago. That's a problem now. Of course it was Tu B'Shvat. The only reason we mentioned Echad B'Shvat was because that's what happened. I'm telling you the Maisa Shahai. Maisa Shahai, Rabbi Akiva came along, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, he picked an Esrog and he took off the Maisa. Now, you want to sit there and torture yourself about whether, and that's great, that's why we need to know the Meisah. Suppose I wouldn't have told you the Meisah. You couldn't win about all of this torturous laugh. No, seriously, in other words, I have a right to tell you what it was that was going on. I'm telling you what happened. This is what happened. He picked it on Rosh Chodesh, took off two Meisahs. Now, look, there's a lot of people who took for granted. He was specific of the halachas like Bechayim and Beis Hillel. I'm telling you, they're crazy. Then there were a lot of people that took for granted that he was confused about what Beis Hillel said. No, that's not the case either. I'll tell you what really happened. It was a coincidence. It happened to have been Echad B'Shvat. Right? Okay. But certainly we're not going to ignore when it happened. We have to keep all of the possibilities open. You want to interpret it some other way. But I'm telling you how to interpret it. Echad B'Shvat was an accident. If he had picked it a month before, he would have done exactly the same thing. Because he was picking it in a different year than its Chanota. Because its Chanota had been before Tu B'Shvat of the previous year. So anyway, there was this problem. No matter when he would have picked it. Question. But does that mean no matter when he would have picked it? After the previous Tu B'Shvat, but does it mean no matter when he would have picked it after Tishrei? Now here we already start churning. Now, what are we talking about? Is the Chanata Lakita issue only the question of what defines the year to which you relate? But the year to which you relate is defined by Tishrei of that year, right? Or indeed, would it have been the same issue even if he had picked it the day after that Tu B'Shvat in the previous year? That would have been the full determination, despite the fact that it's already after Rosh Hashanah, now it's the third year. And that Lamaisa, I mean, Rashi opts over here to leave out those months. That's if he would have taken it to Teves, Kislev, you know. Hey, come on, Rashi. You know what I mean? But what about if it would have been in Elul? We don't talk about that. The Ritva talks about all of the months. Lamaisa, this is Ageah, but Gemara later on, as we'll see tomorrow in more detail. No, that's not the question. The question is which year? When we say it's L'shana Shavra, remember a funny thing has happened here in Arla. Because we defined Arla, we know perfectly well what the tree is in terms of Arla. The tree that the fruit is growing from is definitely 3 years old. It's already grown through Tishrei, and now it's the third Tishrei. But nonetheless, we're counting from Tu B'Shvat. What does that mean? We're counting Tu B'Shvat as being the extension of how to measure that year from the year before. It's not that we're saying that until Tu B'Shvat, the tree is Arla. We're saying that these pears that are chaynet before Tu B'Shvat are still growing from that year. That's what we're saying. We haven't redefined the nature of the year. The year is still a year that is measured by Tishrei. Here the question is, are we measuring the year for an Elan? Are we saying, it's not that Rosh Hashanah is always Tishrei, and now we'll decide what events in the life of a fruit, or the life of a veggie, or the life of a legume, or the life of a grain, defines how to relate to that year. But there may, in fact, when it comes to the tree, be another way of measuring the years. Because after all, when it comes to a tree, is it not so that what we're interested in is Rov Geshamim? So then the Rov Geshamim defines that year? Right? Forget about Rosh Hashanah. It's not Rosh Hashanah. Question is the year of its Rov Geshamim. That's all that would matter to me. Not its own Chanukah. So we're going to see now whether what we're measuring over here is measuring from Tu B'Av, or whether we're measuring from the previous Tishrei. And here we see an example of where it would be Negeah. Okay.
Didn't the reason come up that B'Shvat was because Esrog should be like a year?
I mentioned it. Because it continues to grow like a vegetable. It doesn't grow the way a tree normally grows on natural water. First of all, it's irrigated, which is why your Esrog is so expensive to acquire. One of the reasons.
because
I mean, in practical terms, it means you can take an answer and say they got to give it with a group of every year's report.
Right, that's true. But another practical difference is it continues to grow the same way a vegetable does. In which case, maybe we should treat it like a vegetable. Are you telling me that all you make is herring and you never make esrog jam? Do you not treat it esrog? No, it's still on the tree. It's fresh, green. Couldn't be better. Oh, indeed. A watermelon esrog.
Yeah, we're not talking about saving it to sukkahs.
No. So that's the way I understand it. It wasn't an issue of Bechamay Betel. Okay, so what are you telling me? So it was Kulay, a mice of Bechamay? No, it was just an accident. That's how I understand it. Ravina says, that's not the point. It wasn't an accident. The second Pirish over here, Rabbi Yehuda, was not maintaining the same approach as the first one. You think that it's all... Take what you said in the beginning and just say that the machlokas was whether it was Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi or whether it was Rabbi Eliezer. That's not what he said. Kroch v'tzni. There's two things you have to wrap together in the approach of Rabbi Yossi. What he said was, not only it wasn't minig Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, he also said it was irrelevant Beit Shammai Beit Hillel because it wasn't Zecher Bishvat. It was Tu Bishvat. Tu Bishvat Hayah. And therefore, obviously it was Lo Minag Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Mahagba. Since everybody agrees after Tu Bishvat, I don't care if you're Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, you're both the same thing once Tu Bishvat. It's for sure the next year. So what was his suffix? His suffix was minig Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Eliezer Nahagba. That was the issue. Omer Rabba Bar Avuna. Okay, very interesting. If Rabbi Gamliel is saying that an etrog follows its lakita, then I suggest that it is, for all intents and purposes, to be defined as any other yerek. And what defines the year for a yerek? Tishrei. Lakita pre-Tishrei, lakita after Tishrei. In other words, he's not only saying that we look at the lakita, he's also saying it is a vegetable. And therefore, it doesn't follow the determination of a year built on Gishmei Shana. Let's take it out of that year, out of the Tu Bishvat determination, and turn it into something which is determined by what point of the year. Nafkamina is, obviously. If you're telling me, no, the only thing we're saying is that we should go according to the Lakita, because it continues to grow like a year. Nonetheless, what defines the year of Meiser for it? Look, it is fruit. And as a fruit, it gets most of its energy, the way any other fruit does, from Rov Gishmei Shana, and therefore its year is defined by the Rov Gishmei Shana, which is a Tu Bishvat issue. Why is Tishrei should be a relevant to it? The most you can tell me is that it's Lakita defines what year it's in, but what is the year dated by? Tu Bishvat? No. Comes along now. Dafka, Rabba Bar Avuna, to say the opposite. Now, once Rav Gamliel tells me that I should ignore Rov Gishmei Shana because of the fact that it has these attributes of a vegetable, so then why look at Tu Bishvat as defining the year? Rosh Hashanah defines the year. You see, this is the point that we've been making. There's two different issues. It doesn't necessarily follow. There's two things. There's a point in the life of the Lakita, the Chanot, and so on. And then there's the point of the life of that occurs in which year. Which year is a function of which Rosh Hashanah, not which event in the life. Okay, so it doesn't necessarily mean that those things go hand in hand. May say Reb Shimon ben Elazar Amer, Liket Etrog Erev Tu Bishvat Achalot Avo Hashem. Suppose you pick your Esrog the day before Tu Bishvat, before sunset. And then you go ahead and you pick another esrog, Misha Tavo Hashemesh. Ain't Torminu, then you pick after sunset. Ain't Torminu Masri Mizalzeh. That these etrogim come from two different years. Lefisha Ain't Torminu Masrin, Lo Min HaChadash Al HaYashan, Lo Min HaYashan Al HaChadash. And for that matter, it may even require different maizers, depending on, maybe it was a second and third year event. So if it was Haitash Lishit Nichleset Revi'it, look at this. You had a third year moving on now into the fourth year. Okay, so the Shlishit is Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. The Revi'it is Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. So therefore, this is a very strange, because until now we talked about Shenit Nechmeset L'Shlishit. What is the Shlishit Nechmeset Revi'it? That tomorrow the Gemara is going to get to that and ask, well, what suddenly happened that we switched the Seder of the years here? But let's ignore that for a moment. In any event, there the Nafkamina would be, whether it's Maaser Rishon or Maaser Sheni, as opposed to the Maaser Oni. So now, tell me, explain to me, will you please, who is this going according to, this Braitha? Man Shabbat Veidah Zepas Lakita. Says over here, B'Feirush, Likait Etrog Erev Tu Bishvat, and Likait Etrog immediately after sunset on Tu Bishvat, right? There's only one Man Dharma who could be saying that, and that's Rabbi Gamliel. And nonetheless, what defines the year here? No, Tu Bishvat. Likait before and Likait after. You want to talk, according to you, Likait is true, but the year, the Rosh Hashanah, is not Tu Bishvat. Since it's a vegetable, the Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei. That's what you said. I mean, come on, that's a preferish of rice and not like a Elohim, Marochi, I don't want to say it. Say it right. Amar Rav Baravuna. Afal Gav the Amar Rav Gamliel Etrog Akarlekita Kiyerek. Even though Rav Gamliel is saying that what's important is the Sha'at Lekita, and you might have made the mistaken assumption that since that's the case, we give it all the dinim of a Yerek, and it's Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei Kamash Malan. Its din of Rosh Hashanah is still defined by Shvat. Rosh Hashanah Shelo, Shvat. Because it still has that element. There's two completely different things. An event, indeed, in the life of an Etrog. It doesn't make sense for it to relate back to its Chamata the way a normal fruit does. Because so many interesting things and waters have passed over it since then. So we'll go according to the Lakita. But in terms of defining, how does any normal, wholesome Etrog look at the year? It measures its years by the number of Dibur Shvats that have passed. Since, after all, that's where it gets its major jolt and energy. So that's what it looks like, is having defined its age. And the Mela, these two phenomena, even though generally it's okay to see them as being one thing, because they always boil down to working out together, but by an etrog, we have a beautiful laboratory example of how the two issues need to remain separate in your mind as abstracted separate things, and then to recognize why it is we're choosing both the Rosh Hashanah of the year to be what it is, and the event to be what it is, whether in terms of a Yeretz event, or whether in terms of a Tree's event, or whether in terms of a Legume's event, or a Tzvuah's event. The practical difference is right here. Even though I'm treating it as a Yerek, it doesn't go according to Rosh Hashanah. If I pick one of them before Rosh Hashanah, the day before, or one of them a month after, they both have the same din when it comes to the description of what year Maestros they take. And they're not called Chodesh Al Yoshin. The Gabi Orla, there's no question. The Gabi Orla, it's a fruit. Because the Gabi Orla doesn't make any nafkamina to us, whether it was, you know, God Al Rov Shamim, it's also Rov Mai. What does that teach us? This is the source of our halacha of Yerakot. Yatsu Yerakot, Shigedeh Mameshana Aba'a, Umitasrim Meshana Aba'a. Rabbi Akiva says, I agree with the source, but I don't agree with the way you define the phenomena. But b'chom yigon afam yikvecha should be better stated. Ma gor v'yeter. Miyuchadim shigedelim al rov mayim, natural water, mitasrim l'shana shavra. Av kosh gedelim al rov mayim mitasrim l'shana shavra. Ma she'en ken yirakot, which are gedelim on fertile, on irrigated water as well. They're mitasrim l'shana haba'a. Practical difference between them, says Rabbi Avu, Bitzalim Asarisim and Pola Mitzri, it's not. Bitzalim Asarisim and Pola Mitzri, Shemanami and Mayim, Shloshim Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, in order for them to harden for picking, Mitasrim L'Sha'avar, Umutarim B'Shvi'it, Vimlav Asrim B'Shvi'it, Mitasrim L'Sha'avar Ba'ah. Again, according to Rashi's original pshat, the only pshat that's recognized in Rashi, is that this is Dachmi Goan Alim Rabbi Yossi, according to the Roshalmi, the way that appears to the Romi, and so it's the other way, it's going to Dachmi Rabbi Akiva. B'yechad b'shvat Rosh Hashanah le'ilan, my time, huh? Omer Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Oshaya, ho'il v'yatsur rov gishmei shana, v'aydayin rov tkufa mibachutz. What are you talking about? An offcom, I mean, af al pi, sh'rov tkufa mibachutz, the important issue is, ho'il v'yatsur rov gishmei shana. Tan Rabbonin, ma'aseh b'Rabbi Akiva, sh'niket et rov b'yechad b'shvat v'na'an po shnei yisuri. Apparently, echad k'divrei Beit Shammai, the problem was the minhag Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer nag, but it's not. It's rov shavel ilan bishol lo shadrachim liyarek b'derech echad. Shavel ilan bishol shadrachim lo orla l'ravoy l'shvies. Liyarek b'derech echad b'sha'at l'kitato yisrotim Rabbi Gamliel. Was according to Rabbi Eliezer, an etrog is a fruit, period. Shavel ilan l'chol davar. But wait. Rabbi Akiva, Miyadinik, Shrei Fumre, but Tanya, the Olam Alacha, Kedivre Beit Hillel, Varotzela, so Kedivre Beit Shammai Ose, Kedivre Beit Hillel Ose, Mikulei Beit Shammai, Mikulei Beit Hillel Rasha, Mikumrei Beit Shammai, Mikumrei Beit Hillel, Alava Katuv Omer Vaksil, Bachoshich Olef, Elike Beit Shammai, Bekuleyem Bevachamureyem, Ike Beit Hillel, Bekuleyem Bevachamureyem. Now the case of here, Rabbi Akiva, the more historic way, he was only trying to do Beit Hillel, but lo yada I Beit Hillel be'ad b'shvatka amar b'tu b'shvatka. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yodaymer was irrelevant Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Ella was mini Rabbi Yomil, Rabbi Yezer Nagba, so then that makes sense, b'yechad b'shvat. Another reason was only going like Beit Shammai Nagba. Omri v'chanin v'tim Rav Chananya, That was a coincidence. It was an etrog. Shechantu perotav kodem tu bishvat of the previous year. Ubedinu afilu kodem lakein. It wouldn't have mattered even if it happened in Teves. But maaseh shehaya kachaya. Ravina Amar, no, they're arguing Rav Yossi meant in two things. He said, krov fatzni. This wasn't nogea beit shemai beit because it didn't even happen on etrog bishvat. It happened on tu bishvat. And it wasn't an issue, lo minag beit shemai beit hillel da'agba. And I'm going to go to Rabbi Eliezer now, Agba. Omer Rabba Bar Avuna, it also follows that now the Omer Rabbi Gamliel, Etrog Achaliki Toto Yisroki Yerek, so then it also defines the Rosh Hashanah Shavu, which would be Tishrei. Meitre. Reb Shimon Ben Elazar Omer, Liket Etrog, Erev Tu Bishvat Ad Shelo Tavo HaShemesh, V'chazar V'liket Mishet Tavo HaShemesh, Ein torminu matzrim mizeh al zeh lefi shein tormin matzrim. Lo min ha-kadash ala yashan, lo min ha-yashan ala kadash. There you have it. That Tu Bishvat basically defines Rosh Hashanah. Haitash shlishit de pesach v'revi'it, shlishit matzah rishon, u'matzah ani, revi'it matzah rishon, u'matzah shani. Man shavet le'yazah batar le'kita, Rav Gamliel, v'gadar yishvat. Why? Elit ma'och yitmah. Omer Rabba Baravuna. Still, Rosh Hashanah doesn't change, and Rosh Hashanah Shalom Shvat.